Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
This is Doug Brown.
Hey, it's Aaron Barnes. How's it going?
No, great, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Are you ready for this?
You bet.
Okay. Well, would you do me a favor and just tell the world who you are and what your job is?
Okay. Well, my name's Doug Brown. I'm the superintendent at Ida Bell Public Schools and one of the, I guess, the people that helped start Okla Ed back in the day with Kevin Heim and a couple other folks at UConn Ed Camp. And so I've been kind of on board with Okla Ed since the very beginning.
Excellent. And thank you very much for that. Because honestly, without you guys, there would be no us. So really appreciate it.
Well, it's been really fun to watch it grow and to see it, you know, how everybody's used it. I think it's really been a vital part, and I know it's been a vital part of my professional development personally, and I continue to encourage my teachers and my staff here, and I'll be able to jump on there.
You know, and it's kind of crazy. I know it's Okla Ed, and it was an Oklahoma hashtag to start, but we've got like 7 to 10 regular members that are well outside of Oklahoma. But because it's such a regular education chat, we've grown outside of our borders.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that's so amazing, you know, to see the breadth, you know, and how wide we've actually reached. And it's, like I said, it's just been fun to sit back and watch. And I've not really been a big contributor here lately, but I keep an eye on it and stay in contact with Kevin and those others that, you know, Ann Beck and everybody that's really helping keeping it rolling.
Yeah. So what was the name of your chat? I'm pretty excited about this one.
Mine was Encouraging Innovation. That was what the topic was.
And so what were your intentions with this chat?
Well, and my district, you know, I always do these things. Everything that I've ever moderated, every topic has been something that I'm seeking out information for myself.
I love it.
So this is really something that I go out and I did a little bit of research and read a few blogs and some things on the web, you know, about innovation and how to create innovation. And I was interested to see what the people in Okla Ed are actually doing themselves, you know, because I know it's to encourage innovation really has to be a purposeful strategy. It's not something that's just going to happen, you know, on its own. And we have to make the time and we have to make the effort to really strategize how we're going to move forward and try to create this innovation in our classrooms. And I was really interested to see what other districts, what other teachers are doing, you know, so I could share that with the teachers and other staff members in my district.
So what was your favorite question from this chat?
Oh, I don't know that I've got a specific favorite. You know, specific strategies. What I was looking for, like I said, was just those specific strategies as far as what we could do and how we could implement as a district and how I could, as a leader, really build that culture of innovation in my district. And so that's really specifically what I was looking for. So I don't know that I could really list a specific question because they all kind of led back to that anyway.
Right.
In my opinion, that was really what I was looking for. That was,
well, I really
piqued the conversation.
I really liked your question number 6. How do you praise and reward your staff and students for innovation? Because if we aren't, you know, giving proper credit where it's due, then maybe people won't, you know, go outside and try to do new things. So I really liked that one because I like seeing all the different answers for how people are
right.
Praising and rewarding. That was great.
Well, that is something, you know, I think that a lot of times superintendents specifically and even principals get so bogged down and we don't even think about rewarding the behaviors that we see. You know, we encourage our teachers to do that in the classroom, but we don't necessarily do it with their own staff. And so it was really interesting to see some of the answers that people threw out there.
Doug, I sit on the teacher shortage task force, as do, I mean, several people across Oklahoma. And yesterday in the meeting, the number two reason for why teachers are leaving this profession is the lack of ability to go out and innovate, the lack of commendation, the lack of, and I thought that that was really interesting. And I thought, gosh, and again, so this question is partly my favorite here, because that's one thing that doesn't really take money that could help change that teacher shortage. It's just allowing more autonomy, allowing more innovation, and, you know, giving some gratitude. So I thought it was really shocking to me how closely these things went together.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I've said it from the day that I come from a teaching family. Both of my parents were teachers. My mother was an elementary teacher. My dad was a high school teacher. But so I truly believe that educators are the most creative and can be the most creative individuals in the workforce. And we have to give them the opportunity to be creative. And a lot of what we've done with standardized tests, with the accountability systems that we have to continue to try to match those levels, we've taken away a lot of the creativity. You know, Ken Robinson is a big time, guy that he's out there speaking all the time about how education kills creativity.
Yes.
And we've done that with our teachers as well. And so they need to know that they have the ability to be creative, to create their own lesson plans, to create the methods that they want to use to teach different standards or different concepts, and how do we do that? And, you know, I think a lot of times teachers are scared because they know they've got to meet this requirement at this state-mandated test or this federally-mandated test, whatever. And, you know, if they don't cover the material, you know, line by line, are they going to be able to get the scores that they're required to get? And sometimes there's so that keeps them where they're thinking inside the box too much and not being able to be creative and to step out there and try new ideas and new strategies. And failure is not an option. And we have to make sure that failure is an option for teachers as well as for students.
Well, there are some amazing teacher leaders out there and instructional leaders out there and superintendents and that are really pushing the envelope with this. And you should be praised as well. You and Rick and Rob Miller comes to mind, Kaz, you guys are all out there doing and leading. And I really hope that other administrators are kind of following the example that you put out there, because you are doing great jobs out there. So you should know that.
Thank you very much. It's something I think, you know, I've still got kids in the system, so I'm looking at my kids' education as they come through, and I want to make sure that they stay engaged and motivated to learn and to make it something where they enjoy coming to school and where my staff enjoys coming to work, where they have that autonomy and that where they can work together and be as creative as possible and show some of these new strategies that are out there. You know, we as administrators, we just have to be able to give our teachers the tools that they need. And that was one of the things that I think I've learned a little bit more so is we have to support the innovation with the tools that, that it requires.
Right.
And, so whether it be, and I think one of the things that I taught that I've learned in my superintendency is it takes priorities. You may have to shift your priorities a little bit away from one thing to reach over and really make innovation a priority in your district. And that's the effort that I'm really pushing now. And to talk with those guys, like Rob and Rick and Kevin and Jason James and some of those guys, that are really able to push some of those tools into the teachers' hands and into the classrooms. That's really what we're trying to do. And to give them that opportunity to be creative and innovative in the teaching strategies.
Were there any of the answers that you saw come through that really just stood out to you?
No, it's so funny because I've not had time to go back through the archive, But, you know, as a moderator on these things, you get really inundated.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to keep up.
Oh, yeah.
I've really not had a good chance to go back and really digest what everybody was, you know, it's all the answers. So, no, I unfortunately can't really say there's one that has jumped out at me.
There are some great ones when you do get time, you know, or even just looking over the transcript from Scott and I's, you know, show notes.
Right.
We'll throw several out there, but there were some great answers out there. So,
I'm looking forward to spending some time in that archive because, like I said, my whole reason for asking these questions is for hopefully to give me some ideas to implement in my district. So, I do plan on spending some time and going through there and really reflecting on what people said and trying to spend some, hopefully get some ideas to really put into play at Idabel.
Well, that's awesome. So what are some of the passions you have? Not necessarily EDU, but totally EDU if you want to. What are some of the things that drive Doug?
I just want to be, a source of, I don't want to sound like I'm looking for everybody to look at me, you know, but I want to be able to inspire that love for education, the love for the work that we do, the love of kids, and just being the best that we can be. I brought a motto into Idabel when I first came in called Preparing Champions for Life. And, you know, trying to do everything and inspire being first class, being the champion, using that effort. That it does take extra effort to be a champion, to be the best that you can possibly be, and just to try to encourage teachers and students alike to put forth that effort to make it better, you know, to make themselves better, to make the district better, to make us better. And that's really, what I strive to do on a daily basis.
Awesome. So what are some things that turn you on in education right now?
Well, it's just, as far as firing me up, I mean, I try to stay involved in the legislative process, and it's hard to do when you're 4 hours away from the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
So I really strive for that. I strive for personal growth. If there's a workshop that I can make, I'm going to try to be there. I love reading stuff. Alan November just really drives a lot of my direction in the way that I go. I read a lot of his stuff from his blog.
Say that again. Who is that?
Alan November.
Okay. I haven't heard of him.
He was a guy, you talk about somebody that's on the edge with implementing technology into education. He's got a website out there, and I think it's just alannovemberlearning.com. That's really got a lot of resources and some great information. One of the articles that I read, one of the blogs I read was A.J. Giuliani, in the process of getting ready for this, and that's where I got some of the questions, kind of spurred the questions in my mind after reading a couple of his blogs. So those two guys have I've known about Alan November for, 15, 20 years now that I've kind of followed him. But A.J. Giuliani is someone new to me that I've just found this year and really kind of really been excited to continue with him and follow up with what he's doing. But just that personal growth. I'm a growth-minded person and want to make sure that I'm going to continue to get better at what I do and the knowledge that I have and just try to represent my school, my community, myself, my family, to the best that I can.
I love it. So last question here. Who are your Okla Ed Edu heroes? I mean, who does Doug Brown look up to and, try to glean from?
Well, you've already mentioned them. Rob is one that I've followed ever since he started contributing to the Okla Ed sphere and just really kind of keep track of him. Rick Garrison out of Elk City, Rick Cobb at Middale, Kevin Heim and Jason James, both are the guys that I call if I have a question or, if I need some motivation or need something to really spur me on. Those are the guys that I look at and I really try to make conversations with Those are the folks, you know, and there's some others out there that I'm sure I'm leaving off. But, you know, I'm always really interested to hear Dr. Teresa Collins' comments whenever she's tweeting. And she's one that's been new for me that I've really started to try to follow as much as I can. But Ann Beck's another one. Tyler Bridges with K-20 Center's another one. You know, the list goes on and on.
Yes, yes. We have some amazing resources here.
We really do, and that's it. You know, it's so exciting, and for those that that are participating in the Oakland chat on Sunday night, and I've got a couple of my principals here that they don't participate on Sunday night, but they go back and review the archive, and so they may not actually be tweeting and participating in the conversation, but it does. They are using that professional development resource to go back in there and look at what Oakland has been talking about and some of the comments that have been made.
Well, and maybe you can turn them on to Okla Sid, so maybe on their drive time they can, you know, get a little deeper with us.
Oh, well, yeah, you bet. I'll definitely continue to push that with them, too.
Welcome back to Okla Sid. We are the official Okla Ed podcast, right? Like, we officially are the only thing going besides this Twitter chat.
That is correct. So until somebody else officially does a podcast, then we're the official podcast. We're the unofficial official.
I love it.
We're officially unofficial. No, we're the real deal because we have Twitter.
We do. So what we do is we go into depth on these Okla Ed Twitter chats.
Yes.
And you are Scott and I am Aaron, and that's all we need to say about that.
You can find Aaron on Twitter at ebarnes73. You can find me on Twitter at teachfromhere. And we would love it if you would take just a few minutes to give us a rating wherever it is that you downloaded this podcast.
Okay, so the last time I had looked, mm-hmm. we had three. No, the second of the last time, because I went in again this weekend.
Yeah, did some looking.
And there's another three. We've got six people have reviewed us. And that's, so thank you to you listeners who have actually gone in and given us a review and told the world why they should listen to Okla Sid.
Yeah, thank you very much. You're very nice people.
So this week, Doug Brown hosted this chat.
Mm-hmm.
He is on the Twitters at Doug EB. 00.
Yeah, like 00.
00. Yeah. He's superintendent of Ida Bell Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking to, you know, find out some more about innovating and how to innovate. That was part of his you know, interview there. He wanted to see what people were actually having to say here. So his motivation was kind of researchy.
And
I like,
I do too. And you know what? He's one of those folks that I would work for.
Yeah.
He's like, he's one of those.
Yes. No, I totally agree. So the topic this week was encouraging innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And man, there were some really good things in here, but I was a little surprised how few were in here. Was there something else going on this Sunday? I mean, I know we've competed with Game of Thrones opening weekend. We've competed with, you know, a few other things. Was there something else going on this weekend?
I think the sun was setting or something.
Okay. Well, I know you weren't
Stars
there.
Came
I wasn't
out.
There.
Yeah.
So there were fewer tweets this week.
I was telling Aaron, dear listener, before we started today that I actually fell asleep at like 9:15 Sunday. So I was so exhausted during chat. I knew if I turned it on, I would be awake all night. My body was telling me, you need to go to bed, young man.
Yes.
So I listened for once. But darn it. I should have.
I know. This would have been a really good one to be a part of.
Yeah. Good times. So how good was it? Well, let's start with question one, Aaron.
Okay. What can we do to spur innovation in the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good question because, I mean, just even starting the conversation, that's what he's asking here. What can we do to spur the innovation in the classroom? Oh, I mean, I told them, hey, girls. So for you listeners.
I'm not taking this out.
Those are my children. Hey, girls, I'm recording a podcast here.
And what was really funny was Aaron was speaking and snapping behind her at the same time.
Oh, you don't have this going up on YouTube yet?
I think this might be the first one.
Because of all this?
Yeah, because of all of that. But you know, here's the thing with innovation too, you know. So if I hold this Sharpie highlighter in my hand, I could innovate with the Sharpie highlighter. I mean, it doesn't have
Tell
to
me
be.
How. Well, I'm putting you on the spot.
So I need a little bit more time to think on this, but I could do it.
Like, you've never used a green Sharpie highlighter before. Maybe this is what prompts, you know, creativity.
Right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have my kids draw X and Y axes on their desks with green Sharpie marker, and we're going to write on our desks. I mean, that's doing something a little bit different. That's innovative because it's different, right?
Yes. So have you ever had the kids write on their desks with dry erase markers or anything?
Yeah. With Sharpie, yes.
Okay.
It comes off.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
Sharpie?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I use the Expo markers because I was scared.
I use the Sharpie. In fact, I had a student 1 year and she was asking me a question. I go, you need to write your question down on your desk in Sharpie and explain it to me what you want to know. And she just had the hardest time because that was permanent marker, Mr. Hazelwood. I'm not doing that to the desk. But it comes up. Use a little bit of antibacterial wipe, antibacterial rub, and it comes right off those desk tops.
Well, that's good to know. And so we will, maybe I'll up the game to Sharpie, but they love it when they get permission to write on their desks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I went with an Elizabeth E. Smith tweet here, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen Elizabeth. Am I the only one, or was she new to the chat this night, or maybe she was a lurker in the past? She said, innovation requires resources, time, i.e. common planning for teachers, freedom to choose and create curriculum, etc., many grants to buy equipment or fund experiences, and support from admin. And I loved this one because you think, all right, we need to innovate. We need to. And it's just, it goes to show you how much goes into that. And in a state of teacher shortage, in a state of lack of spending on students, it is so crazy that we're still expected to innovate. But I think teachers do it because they love it. I'm not trying to throw another, kink in the thing, but there is a lot that goes into thinking about innovating, spurring innovation.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention this, and it wasn't in the Oakland Ed chat, but I should put it in. Maybe I'll just mention it. I don't know. But the Blunt Educator, who's on Twitter at Blunt Educator, he said, FYI, mm-hmm. classroom innovation doesn't just mean new technology.
Right. It could be the green highlighter that you were just.
Right. In some fashion, form, or whatever. So I saw that, and I thought of our chat on this, because sometimes we get caught up on innovation. I need iPads. I need Chromebooks. I need whatevers. That's innovative. But if you're using that iPad Chromebook as a worksheet, it's not innovative at all. It's just substituting a 2 cent print for a $900 purchased item.
Right. Well, and the definition by Merriam standards is a new method, idea, product. I mean, all you're doing is putting a twist on something. I mean, sometimes you create a whole new box, but sometimes you're just, making the box blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just putting a new spin on something to get a different product.
The other thing that we didn't do is define innovation. And my advisor came in about halfway through chat and asked, did we have a definition that we were using, for innovation? So we could all be tweeting our own assumptions of what innovation is.
Yeah, that's very true. I hadn't even thought of it.
Yeah, so there you go. So I went with Nick Schumacher. He is at Nick_Schumacher. He said, give students a voice in their education. Honor that voice. Be vulnerable enough to try new ideas and be willing to make mistakes. Either create or find a school culture which embraces innovation.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
And right now, it's the buyer's market. It's the teacher's market as far as finding a school. So
yeah, where do you want to teach and go there?
If you're being stifled with your innovation, then find a place to go.
Yeah, there's a place for you. So question two says, what can we measure or assess to spur innovation in the classroom?
So you picked two tweets here, you cheater.
I did pick two tweets, but they were related. So since Aaron's throwing me under the bus already. Okay, so here's what Christy Cooper, and she's at ChrisCoop80. She said this, assess? ? not sure how to do that. If we want innovation, in my experience, is to just let them go for it. If we start assessing it, we can block the creative flow, but this is just my opinion. So that was Christy as the classroom teacher. Now, Kathy Dunn, who is at Kathy S. Dunn, and she is an administrator, she said, but I think you assess all the time. When you evaluate success, did it work? What did I learn? What might work better on the next try? Do we reach our goals? All of these are assessment.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It doesn't mean it's a test in April that, you know, says whether they get to move on or not.
Right.
It's all the time.
And I think that's one of the issues that we're facing as educators. Is we've just been hammered over the head so many times with assessment that we automatically associate it with the big BS test in April, the big standardized, you know, BS, big standardized.
Big standardized,
Or other words. But we automatically make that assumption. And I was having a conversation with a fellow colleague at Oklahoma State one day, and she's just like, I hate assessments. And I go, but Kate, you do formative assessment all the time, and that's all the lifeblood. That's the lifeblood of learning.
Yeah. I don't mind assessments at all. I think they make us better if the data is used correctly. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. So along the same lines of standardized testing, then I picked Angela Clark Little, and she is at Ange M. Little on the Twitter. She said, just make sure the tool we use to measure is a standardized test. Those are the most reliable. Hashtag sarcasm.
She's totally right, because if it's standardized, everybody should be able to do it.
Right. Right. Right.
All big right, well, question standardized three. Test,
BS.
BS.
What type of activities do you support that encourage innovation?
So when I left Memorial, this is the activity that I wanted to do to encourage innovation. And I never quite got myself organized enough to do it. But what I wanted to do was make a semi bi-monthly or bi-weekly, twice a month, issue of EdTech to try in a classroom that you could try without just investing tons of time. And I was going to call it the toilet paper or the toilet roll. And I was going to recruit a lady colleague to tape it up inside all the stalls in the women's bathrooms, faculty bathrooms. And then I was going to tape it up over the men's bathrooms. So while you have a captive audience, you're sharing different technology tools or innovations that you can use in the classroom. I still
That's
think it's a good
hilarious
idea.
Hilarious and mean, crazy and yeah.
Your audience is busy. I mean, like you have them for a few moments.
I suppose so. Well, I went with the Seth Meyer tweet here. Mm-hmm. He said, facilitate and encourage healthy discussions, especially when there's disagreement, even with elementary. Mm-hmm. Disagreement and dissenting opinions can spur innovation.
Oh, yeah.
Dissenting opinions.
Yeah.
Not dissent.
Yeah. Healthy, constructive argument, not a your mom's ugly argument, but healthy, right. Constructive argument, like, tell me more about this idea. I don't like it. Can really
or
get
I don't
you
understand
to, right, right. But if you get to the point where you really have somebody's trying to poke holes in your argument and you have to really defend and think on it, it can really spawn some great ideas, some absolutely great ideas. I went with Jennifer Seitzinger here. She's at room 20. Awesome. She said, my littles have time each day for building, creating, and storytelling. Hopefully, I'm laying a foundation for innovation that upper grades will build upon. Innovation must be encouraged K-12.
Agreed.
That's agreed. Right. That's right. Agreed.
I usually will ask people, my students, how do you want this to be presented? Mm-hmm. I accept almost any form of you showing me your knowledge.
Right.
So, do I get 3B also?
Yeah, 3B is you.
Okay. How can we as leaders better support staff and students to be innovative?
I'll tell you what my admin did that I loved. Was they said, you go for it. We'll help you. But you tell us what's going on. Like, you let us know what's going on. We got your back. And then if there was an idea that just wouldn't work, they would be like, and I've shared this before, not that idea, but what about this idea?
Yeah. So, I like that. I mean, so if they're saying no, they're kind of rerouting you.
Yeah. They're not saying, absolutely not, Mr. Hazelwood. You can't do that. It's a terrible idea. Forget it. Go away. But it was like, no, that's not a good idea, but have you thought about these other four things? So even though maybe the one thing I really wanted to do wasn't possible, there were other options available.
Yeah. Well, I went with a Steve Gilliland tweet here, and he is at Steve_Gilliland. He said, let them know perfection is not required. Let them do it. Let them learn from it. And then he said, he quotes Christy Cooper here. He says, at Chris Cooper always says, trust the kids. So I really like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with Todd Gregg, who is at Matthew T. Gregg. You got a song for him today, Aaron?
I don't have my guitar here.
Okay, don't. That's okay. Don't get up.
I'm going to get one of those T-Pain mouthpieces, you know? Don Gregg. I don't even know.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, you got it. Got your name sung. So he goes, as far as personally, I participate in Twitter chats, I go to conferences, I read edu blogs, I listen to podcasts, I read books on innovation and education, business leadership, and entrepreneurship. Basically, I keep pushing myself daily. And I think as teachers that we have to take time out to do that. Like, we have to do that.
Well, and EdCamp, free version of finding a better way to be innovative. You know? Yeah. Question four?
Yeah. Question four. What do you make time for that might encourage innovation?
So me personally.
That's the magic word right there, time.
Time. It's a difficult commodity to come by.
Hard to find.
Personally, whenever I do make it to an ed camp, whenever I do make it to a conference, I will try to pick one thing that pushes me outside of my comfort zone. And I've gone to sessions that are so far outside of my comfort zone that I think, no way am I doing this. But I usually try to think about what I am doing in a different light. And so even if I say, heck no, it usually does bring about something else that I want to do. Kind of like what you were saying with your principal. The answer isn't definitively no, but maybe a rerouting of. So I typically try to push myself at conferences to at least learn one new thing.
That's a great idea. And I think it's important too on social media or whatever your networks are where you're plugged in is to try and find some opposing points of view to how you think. So if you're a big, like say for example, you're big on traditional grade book grading, you know, A is 90 to 100, B is 80 to 89, C is, you know, 70 to 79, all the way down to everything from 0 to 60s and F, check out some standards-based grading. Be challenged by that. If you assign homework every night and you want your kids to do 15 or 20 minutes, check out the no homework stuff. I mean, find those things that are going to push you to really think about what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Kenneth Wartz, he is at Kenneth D. Ward. He said, make time for conversations with T's that are interested. Brainstorm, strategize, support, and recognize. Model when possible, but get involved and put it all over social media and other promotion activities.
I like that. Share it. Share it.
Conversation. Make time for conversations with teachers who are interested, because not every teacher is going to be interested in stretch, right? I mean, that's just normal human behavior, but there are some that will rabidly seek those things out. So yeah, I like it.
Well, I did a Seth Meyer tweet again. I know. He just was on fire this night.
You know, he had the best tweet a couple weeks ago when he got the new Keurig pot. I still think about that.
His meltdown.
His meltdown.
He said, consistently watching, discussing, encouraging teachers to make instructional risks, and then letting them share it by getting teachers, our school and other schools, in their classes. Let our teachers go to different schools to see other teachers. And I love that. I've been screaming that from, well, my desk for a really long time.
What, you know, when I flipped my high school math class, and I was really active in following some of the flipped class blog sites, way more active than I am now. And one of the things they had was, I can't remember if it was a National Flipped Class Day or something or whatever, but they organized nationally here in the United States a day to go observe flipped class stuff.
And so it's really cool.
Yeah, so my friend Christina and I promoted that on Twitter. We picked up a dozen donuts before school one morning. We promoted it on Twitter, And that's how I met John Atchley for the first time, was he came to my class. And we had, and I told the kids, people are coming. And I think we had 3 or 4 or 5 people that showed up. And
that's really fun, though.
Yeah. So they saw how we did our flip class that morning. And then we had a planning period, and then had like about a 30 or 45 minute just Q&A. So I'm not saying do that necessarily with flip class, but if your teachers are doing something cool, get other, like make it a point to bring in other teachers and then have them see how that's taught and then have that Q&A. It is great. It was great.
Yeah.
Q5.
Question 5. What do we allow in our buildings and classrooms to encourage innovations? So that was in my brain. Whenever I saw that, I thought, what do we allow? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I sat there and thought about that one for a minute. I think that I am allowed autonomy, and that's huge because it definitely gives me, I don't know, bravery without feeling like somebody's going to come down on me. So,
right. I think one of the things here too is this is almost an implication that a scripted class lesson doesn't encourage innovation.
Yeah, how could it?
Right. So are we allowing ways, because some of our schools are quote unquote forced into that situation. So how can we, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to take us in a different path, but if we're making an allowance here, then what's existing that's keeping us from doing that?
I really hope I don't get this information wrong, but I'm about to give it to you I remember it in my head. How's that?
Okay. Sounds good.
During the teacher shortage task force meeting this last week, mm-hmm. Somebody was giving out the statistics from the survey that they put out for teachers that had left the field. Mm-hmm. Number one reason was pay. Number two reason was lack of ability to choose and to create and to make, mm-hmm. and to be outside of the curriculum. Lack of just their own decision making within their classroom was a huge factor for people leaving. I think it was tied for discipline. I mean, as the number two reason teachers are leaving, the lack of...
That would get in the way of being able to innovate.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, hello, Oklahoma educators, if you're... I was going to say, if you're feeling stifled in the workplace by your curriculum, by, you know, whatever, have that discussion with your administrator and say, listen, here it is. And I really hope that I can get more of this. I mean, go in constructively, because you do not need to be burned out and leaving our profession a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever. But make sure you have a game plan if you do want to innovate, and let them know that, you know, I'm looking for this. Can I please get this?
Right.
I hope our teachers are having open and honest conversations with the administrators before just walking out the door.
Yeah, because sometimes if something like that hasn't been brought up, where you're wanting to do something different or potentially risky, and you just feel like no, but you haven't talked with anybody about it, you don't know what kind of support will be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a
side note.
Yeah. Anyway, I went with Eric Justin Bates tweet here, and he is at EJB Band 21. He said, letting students input on things. If there's something I don't like in marching band and I'm thinking of changing it, he says, I tell the students what I'm thinking and get feedback. Sometimes their ideas work better and it gives them ownership of the product. And I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
I think allowing, you know, within reason, of course, letting those students have some choices there. Man, that's a big deal. Nancy Williams, who is at Nancy_N Williams, she said, we allow technology and the internet with so much information and so many ideas. Just think about how it could be used. All we had were textbooks and what the teacher personally knew. And so I think she's referencing when she was a student.
Right.
And I've had this conversation several times this week. So just imagine now, especially with the older students, okay, middle school, high school, not so much elementary, although it could be. But we've grown up with the teacher being that one point of all knowledge. So the teacher went out, got all the knowledge, all the knowledge funneled into the teacher, and then the teacher had it and then funnels it all out to the students.
Yeah.
But that's not the case anymore with the internet, social media, YouTube, all these open education resources and all these things. Students now have a variety of ways to go around the teacher to the knowledge, right? And so yeah. we should embrace some of those things. You're still the expert. You still know it all. You can help your students.
Yes, sir.
Question 6, how do you praise or reward staff or students for innovative behavior?
Okay, who is Mark Moran? He had like 3 tweets. This is the only place I saw him in this Twitter chat, but there were 3 tweets answering this question, and you and I each chose different ones.
I can't remember. I think I've seen him somewhere.
Okay. He's got like 8,000 followers, so mm-hmm. he's somebody. More of a somebody than me. anyway. Everybody's like more of a somebody
your
than me.
Your mom
loves you. I
don't know
why
you.
You listen to this podcast. anyway, Eric Moran, one of his tweets said, students are most excited when people other than their teachers or parents care about their work. And he, you know, put in there an article, 7 ways for them to connect with experts and mentors. Mm-hmm. I chose this because I totally agree. My students could care less about writing whenever I had them blogging. And they could care less about blogging until I started sharing their stuff on Twitter, and they were getting, you know, tweets, and they were getting retweeted, and they were getting the notification saying people were reading. And then they started, you know, competing with each other on who got more reads this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once it was shared out there, they got really fired up and wanted to do more. I had people asking if they could do it on the weekend.
Right.
Yes.
What? You want to learn over the weekend? Absolutely not. Forget it. Okay, so I just did a quick search on Mark, and he was a visitor from New York. How about that?
Ah, very nice.
Yeah. I also went with Mark on this one. He said, authentically celebrate their achievements, not just inside the school. Call local news, include it in the newsletter / social media. Encourage them to take the next step and dream bigger.
Yeah. Well, and I did 2 tweets here, so I guess I was a cheater. That's okay. I called you out earlier. I apologize.
My tweets at least were of the same conversation thread.
Wes Fryer, who's a buddy of ours, also had a great answer to this question. He said, amplify local innovation by inviting students to share short presentations, I'm guessing, at upcoming school board meetings. Ask students to share short stories of innovation at faculty meetings. Record a quick edit video with each student and share it on social media. And I love this. I just, the more the students are front and center and we're showing off their work, the more I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. That brings in that whole authentic audience thing too.
Yeah.
You know, where the kids, they just want to do it right. So.
Yes.
Question seven.
How can we dedicate more time for reflection, collaboration, and brainstorming?
Oh, this is hard, man. Time. There's that word time again.
I know, but I do. And I picked Doug's tweet on this because I do purposefully take time. I kind of hyper schedule out several of my days each week, because if I didn't, I just wouldn't get it all done. And I definitely cannot rely on my brain to remember some of these things. And so I make time. And so every Sunday, I've got 3 journals that I write in. They're all sitting next to my bed. Before I go to bed, I just write a little something or draw a little something, kind of reflecting over the week. And even if it's like a super depressed face, like, this did not work this week.
Wow, that face, you know, was
say,
really weird.
I know.
Oh, you did it again.
Another reason to put it onto YouTube this week, right? No, but I purposefully schedule myself some time every Sunday to just a quick write something that was good, bad, ugly, horrible, awesome, you know, and think about it. And then as far as collaboration and brainstorming, I am very hooked up on Twitter. I love EdCamps. I am constantly in communication with you. You know, it's, I mean, as it comes out of my brain, sometimes it's going into a text message so that I can get feedback on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't schedule out my collaboration and brainstorming. It just kind of comes out of my mouth as I get to it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I went with Wes also on this one. And he said, challenge teachers and staff to prune individual goals and priorities instead of just adding to an already large list. Then encourage scheduled time on the calendar for reflection, collaboration, and brainstorming. Model this as an administrator.
Yes.
And so I think Doug and Wes's tweets are similar but different in purposeful scheduling, which is really hard to do in schools sometimes. But oh my gosh, the difference it can make, you know?
I mean, we're already grading papers at home, entering grades. Anyway, if you do this one little thing, if you're constantly thinking about how it went and how you can be better, then it's going to get better. So, anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
That's all you got to say about that. Peas and carrots. Okay. Question 8, how do you communicate to students, staff, and employees the value of an innovative culture?
I liked this. I went with Todd Gregg on this one, and he said, currently through simply talking about it and modeling it. I'm going to move to blogging about it and maybe even podcasting some ideas. And I just wanted to let you know, Todd, I approve of you moving toward that direction.
It's my humble opinion, and I've shared it a lot, although not recently, that every teacher should be blogging because every teacher's learning space is different and unique and important. And people don't understand sometimes everything that goes on during your day.
Right.
Or the ideas you're struggling with or whatever. So there you go. So I'm super excited, and I cannot wait to read the blog, and I hope he shares that sucker through the Okla Ed hashtag. I went with M. Knave, who is at @Obi-Wan_Knave, Obi-Wan Kenobi. She said, let students know that being innovative means you will likely fall on your face a time or two, and they will learn more from that than from instant, easy success. If it's about the learning instead of grades, make sure they know it, allow redos, and be intentional.
Yeah. Scott, have we talked about failing?
No, never.
Never. Ever. Feeling forward. Have we ever said
episode
anything?
Episode 1, episode 2, episode 3. Oh my goodness, fail. But don't punish them for that. Like, if they flame out in glory, recognize that in front of everybody as what a risk, what an effort, what a try. It wasn't right. Bam, I want more of that. And then give that kid an option, give that student an option to just redo full credit, no penalty.
Well, and I can't imagine any amazing innovation having happened correctly the first time. Light bulb, how many times have we talked about
this? So I'm holding my iPhone here. I mean, the first
iPhone 7, 1, 10, 9?
Yeah, no, yeah. There wasn't they keep iPhone. Getting better, right? So the first iPhone that came out, I mean, they probably went through a lot of prototypes first because they wouldn't work.
Well, and I'm pretty sure 8 gigs was like the biggest you could have gotten back then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was some big time fails in there. I mean, you just can't you can't do great without risk. You just can't.
Right.
Or fail.
Boom sauce?
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
That was dead air. Don't leave dead air on the podcast. Yeah, you go.
No. Okay. Shanna Malou, who is at LS Malou. She said, I want to offer an innovation scholarship to students who come up with the most innovative idea. I loved it. I really did love it. But dadgummit, are you funding this?
Maybe that's what she wants to do. And maybe she's got a connection.
I love the idea. Yeah. I love the idea.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Let us know more if you do have a connection.
For shizzle. I went with Chris Paradise here, who is at Chris Paradise. She said, by giving up some of the aimed at assessment stuff, and recognizing that the reflection, collaboration, and brainstorming will accomplish more and better things for our students, even on the all-important test. Now, this was an answer to question 7. And just for a reminder, question 7 was, how can we dedicate more time for reflection, collaboration, and brainstorming? But I thought this answer was great because what she's saying is, and something that I experienced also in the classroom, you don't have to do it like you've always done it just so your kids can be successful on the test. You can do things out of the box, completely different. You can knock down the walls of your classroom and reach the whole entire world, and your students will still perform well on those big BS tests. And
big standardized tests.
Whatever. BS, whatever. So there you go.
That's it. That was the chat this week. That was a really good one.
That was a good one. Who's hosting it next week?
Me.
Dang, you've hosted a couple here recently. What's up
with
that?
I know. I think we need some people to step up. I actually do think several people have stepped up since, you know, this. And I almost was like, hey, why don't you take December 3rd? I think I saw something go out on the Oak Ed saying, I want to host a chat. I almost said, why don't you take December 3rd?
You did see that go out, and that was one of the ones was Talanya Norfar, and she's like, they were booked up to like mid-January. So,
that's a great problem now. I'm hoping that with that chat a few weeks ago about how Oak Ed can work for you. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we've gotten several of those people signed up now. But I'll be hosting this chat or moderating this chat.
Super diddy duper.
We'll be talking about facing our fears in education.
I don't have any fears.
Well, then you're not trying hard enough.
Dang. Okay. I have a fear.
You're not innovating.
I'm not innovating.
If you're not fearful of something...
You know what I'm afraid of?
Tell me.
I don't know what I'm afraid of.
Oh, I'm afraid of a few things. And so the first question is going to be fun, but I'm not going to give it away.
Oh, you're not going to give us something to chew on or think about?
No.
Dang.
You'll have to wait.
Wait until when?
Sunday, the 3rd of December at 8 p.m.
Central Standard Time?
Central Standard Time, yes.
Following which hashtag?
The Oakland Ed hashtag. And if you want to throw in Oakland Said, that's fine too.
Hey, we will take it. Well, I am looking forward to facing your fears in education, Erin.
Me too.
So who's going to do that? How are we going to do the interview this week?
I've reached out to somebody to see if they'd be interested, a super fan.
We're going to have a super fan interview?
Maybe.
I am all a Twitter. Do you get it? All right,
educators, you know what to do. You know, go out there and dominate the world.
I can hang Christmas lights.
We are different enough.
So I got lights on my ceiling.
Where are you at?
I'm all on Twitter.
I only see me really big.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.